also welcoming Prime Minister officials on that dowry for sessions for the committee. Let me play up front that you received an apology from the minister. However, the delegation is here, is led by the Director General, who is the one who will be leading the delegation for today. Navy DG, we was just placed to record, there were quite a number of calls for concern from the side of the committee regarding the non-availability of the committee, of the department to appear before the committee. There has been a call for concern, and I hope maybe just before you do a presentation, that is a matter that you have to hear out so that you don't have a cloud to run over the head of the department. Then immediately thereafter, I think we'll be dealing with the presentation itself. Can I then afford the House to introduce themselves? My name is Jihad Mohati. I am the chairperson of the Select Committee of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, Public Service and Admin, Women in the Presidency, Youth, Development and Intergovernmental Relations. May I also ask members of Parliament or members of the Select Committee to introduce themselves, starting from my left here, allowing myself.
Good morning.
Thanks, sir.
My name is Moses Tetsa Simtaba, from Mpumalanga, also a member of this committee.
Good morning. My name is Morgan Chetty, from KZN, permanent delegate.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is George Mishlakis. I'm a permanent delegate from the Free State.
Good morning. Jean-Julius Gauteng.
Tumela. Islam Rawagatrujan. Ketua Kililimpo.
Okay, then can I just ask officials that are suspicions for the committee just to rise up for us to please them, please? Thank you very much. Kosi, are you now an official? Then I'll let you know. Can I then ask the DG just introduce herself and the delegation that is accompanying her?
Morning, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. Jenny Schwana, the DG of the Department of Women in the Presidency. With me, I have on my right the CFO, Kamagwini Nsinga. On my left, I have Ms. Dalma Sabella, who is the Chief Director of Strategic Management. Sitting behind her is the Acting DG of Core Business, Nkiki Sisulu Zingapi, and behind me is the Minister's Special Advisor, Ahara Biseko, who was also the acting former DG in an interim period. And we are expecting our DDG Corporate Management, Tante Tsenga, to join us, and I'm sure that she's just coming through the administrative processes. Chairperson, that is the delegation that we have brought to present to you on where we are as a department and the APD.
Thank you very much. Without much ado, can I then welcome Honorable Haula, as an alternate in the committee with no voting rights. It's fine, you don't have that, I know. Honorable members, without any waste of time, allow me then to indicate that we are going to have only one item for this today's meeting, which is a briefing by the department. Then what is going to happen? Would see to it as and when we have the next meeting to finalize our input and further deliberations. I know there's debate in that time, so we wish to give those that will participate at the level of the debate an opportunity to go and prepare on behalf of their committees or parties. So can I then afford the DG an opportunity to present? But I indicated to the Honorable DG that if you can start rushing the primary issue, which is a call for concern on the side of the Select Committee. Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you. And honourable members, let me extend to you the apology that I have given to the Select Committee Chairperson for the blunder that we had done on the 26th of May. It is a responsibility that I take fully on my own shoulders, and this is something that I'm very firm commitment will not be repeated. It was an administrative communication error within the department that we have addressed, and we will ensure that we go forward. So I extend my apology for the process. I think that we need to ensure that we've got a far closer relationship with the Secretariat of the Select Committee. My office, I believe, has already been establishing that closer relationship. And what we would ask is that that all correspondence that gets into the ministry gets copied to us, just so that there's that backup system in place. But for us as a department, and I would be saying this irrespective of the problem that we have caused the Select Committee, it is very important for us to build a relationship with the Select Committee, which enables you to understand the mandate of the department, the work of the department, and be able also to reflect back to us from the provinces of this country your observations, your expectations of how we should be going forward. So we do hope that the Select Committee will be able to hear the apology and be able to use this as a base to form the correct relationship between the department and the Select Committee going forward.
Thank you very much. Any comment on the apology? It's an apology. Now, Julius, we're not going to discuss an apology, so if you comment, I hope.
I don't know whether it's just doing a Jefferson.
Yes, yes.
Oh. And I just wanted to know that the Select Committee wrote a letter to the department. Just wanted to know, do we have a response in writing of this so that we can build a relationship in future? Thank you.
And I was just, now that there's a clear appearance before the committee, I think it suffices. They've apologized before us. If we are further saying, let's have it on record, I think it would be another thing. But honestly speaking, can you just accept that the department has cordially apologized before us as the committee to be minuted, and I think it would be a open record for us to make reference even in the future. Now, Julius.
Thank you, Chair. I just think it will be proper for us to get a response in writing because we wrote a letter and it didn't happen once. We wrote a letter and we need that letter and the response in writing so that we can have it on a set of minutes with us and go forward from there, Chairperson.
No, it's fine. I think we take note of it. I don't think there'll be any harm. DG, generalist, Nelly, put that in writing for the purpose of record to the committee, but nonetheless, to me, honestly speaking, the person is really apologize before you. Why should you really pursue it further than that? But nonetheless, I think it's on the view of Honourable Julius Arunshi in your arm. We'll always appreciate if you can do that. Can I then ask Honourable DG that we are going to appeal that you have made, prepared your presentation? I've seen it's almost 60 slides. Because it's your own presentation, don't read, but please speak your slides. Can I then take the opportunity to welcome our whip, Honourable Nzimande. He's a whip of the committee. You are welcome, Honourable Nzimande. Can you give him a round of applause, please? Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It's an enlightened note. Honourable members, can I then afford the department to do a presentation like we are used to do? We're going to afford them an opportunity to present, and immediately after presentation is then that we'll interact with questions or clarities, inputs and fair engagement on the presentation. DG, over to you. I'm not sure who's going to lead the presentation, but you know, in terms of a definition, you'll decide who'll be doing the presentation on behalf of the department. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, Honourable Members. I will do the first part of the presentation, which aims to give a scene setting of where we are as a department at this point in time. And then the CEG corporate management, who has been introduced, will take over to do the presentation that deals with the actual content of the APP. Chairperson, we felt that it would be important for us to conceptualize the department, given that we are a department that was established through the presidential announcement in May of last year that there would be a minister in the presidency responsible for women and therefore the Department of Women, Children, People with Disabilities would be disaggregated with children and people with disabilities going to social development and the Department of Women in remaining. So that has basically absorbed a lot of the energy of last financial year dealing with the NMOS process, but at the same time trying to ensure that we did the planning for this year. Prior to the NMOS process, so in other words, in the previous administration and the opening months of last year, the Department of Women, Children, People with Disabilities had four budget programs: the administration program, Women and Power, Gender Equality, Children's Rights and Responsibilities, and Rights of People with Disabilities. As the program three and four that have migrated to social development, and it's program one, obviously, as the administration program, and program two that have then remained in the department. But I will speak further then on the budget program structure of the Department of Women. The important element of the new department is that the mandate of the department has been defined and very focused. And if you look on slide five, you'll see that the amended mandate is to lead, coordinate, and oversee the transformation agenda on women's socioeconomic empowerment, rights and equality, through mainstreaming, outreach, advocacy, and monitoring and evaluation. And it's very important that is understood as the background against which our ATP takes place, because we are not a service delivery implementation department. We are a coordinating, monitoring, leading department. And so we function in a unique way and with clear challenges to our planning environment. So if you look then on slide six, very briefly, that gives you the figures of the employees that have moved to the Department of Social Development. And in addition, there is a component, a monetary equivalent, respective eight administration posts that had to be transferred to social development because the administration program of a smaller department does not require the same capacity as previous. So as from the 1st of April, that capacity has then been transferred. On the 1st of October last year, the Minister of Public Service determined that the women, gender, and gender equality and the corporate services functions, resources, and their posts and staff were transferred to the Department of Women. So effectively from that date, we were established as a Department of Women with a started organizational structure. But a started organizational structure that comprised a post establishment of 118 posts as opposed to 145 that had been in the Department of Women, Children, and People with Disabilities. What's important is that in the NMOS process, that startup structure was limited by the NMOS principles. So it was not a process in the NMOS process of redesigning an organization that was appropriate for the new mandate. It was simply a process of assuring that that separation of function took place. But that then meant that having concluded that, we then needed to embark on the structuring process of the department to enable us to be able to deliver on the new mandate of the fifth administration. Part of that process was to engage with the budget program structure, and on slide 8 you will see the new budget program structure, which was approved by Treasury and is in effect from the adjusted E&E process when we were given an allocation, and is the basis of the APP that we are going to be discussing today. So our four programs are the administration program. Program 2 is the social, political, economic participation and empowerment. Program 3 is research, policy, coordination, and knowledge management. And Program 4 is monitoring, evaluation, and outreach. That process in terms of our budget program structure was completed in the course of last year. The process in terms of our restructuring has been a little bit more delayed, but what we have done is we've designed a five-year vision for our organizational design. We are currently severely constrained by budget, as I'm sure you will have seen in the slides that we are going to present to you. But what we thought was that we needed to have the longer term, the NGSS vision of what we would need in order to be able to deliver effectively on that mandate of promoting and championing the socioeconomic empowerment of women and gender equality. But as I'm sure parliamentarians are acutely aware, we need to function within budget. So our structure for year one, in other words for 15-16, has to be within the allocation that we have. So we have extracted from that, with support of DPSA, a structure that is appropriate for our mandate, appropriate for our delivery on the ATP, but that is restricted by the budget that we have, the funding that we have for compensation of employees. Our own minister has signed off on that structure at the end of April. There has been in the process of engaging with officials in DPSA to provide them with any further information that they needed on it, and that has been submitted as is a requirement to the Minister of Public, the Acting Minister of Public Service and Administration for his concurrence. As soon as we retrieve that back, we will then have a structure that will be appropriate for delivery on the APP. That redesign process has also involved a reprioritization of funding away from administration and into core business. There is a level below which you can't go in terms of the administration program without putting yourself at risk of non-compliance and governance challenges, but we have done a reprioritization of funding to shift that. The five-year organizational design vision will be taken through the annual HR planning process, so we will incrementally over the MTSF move towards achieving that design. We've designed a roadmap for the organizational redesign, which we have shared with you on slide 10. Jefferson, I don't intend to speak to the detail of it, but just to say that you can see from the bullets where we've the tick that a large part of that work has been done. In fact, a large part of the work in column 2 has also been initiated and is at substantial progress levels. There isn't a Chinese wall between the various different parts, and we are comfortable that we are moving according to our expectations. We are in the process of initiating a skills audit that will enable us, against the new structure, once approved, to be able to identify how best do we use the skills and staff that we've got in the department. We have undertaken that we will ensure that we accommodate staff within the department. We made a commitment that there will not be any retrenchment process. Our skills audit is to ensure that we are making the optimal use of staff, and where there are needs for skills training, because some of the skills that we need in terms of the new mandate are quite substantially different from what we had before, that there will be the necessary training processes going forward to that. Obviously, it means that the department will remain in a change management process, and this will be something that over 5 years we will need to sustain, because it is going to be a department in growth as we go through the MTSF. We will be engaging continuously with both Treasury and DPSA around our structure and, most importantly, around additional funding. We will be hoping to use the MTA process coming now to engage with Treasury as well as the adjusted E&E process. We are acutely aware of the fact that the structure that we have submitted to DPSA gives us the absolute minimum. We really do not have sufficient core posts to be able to take up the responsibilities that we have been given as a department. Chairperson, at that point I'm going to hand over to DDG Corporate Management to then speak to the APP, recognising that we do have 60 slides and we do want to be able to ensure that we can engage. So we'll do this fairly high-level presentation. Members want for the detail, they can obviously come back to it in a question. So if I can hand over.
Thank you, Tiffany. Good morning, honourable members, and I apologize for walking in late. I think I will jump the mandate and the vision, if that's okay with the committee. Now go straight to the constitutional and legislative and other mandates. The department responds to a number of legislation, even though the department is established only, I mean, does not administer any legislation except for the Commission on Gender Equality Act. There is, however, a wide range of legislation that have a direct impact on the work of the department, and this also includes the National Development Plan, which prioritizes public employment, with specific focus on unemployed women, transformation of the economy, which should involve active participation of women, the support for women leadership in all sectors of society, and measures that should be put in place for access, for women to access basic services. It also says that by 2030, women should not have fear of crime. They should not have a fear of crime, and they should be protected by the law. It also says that nutrition intervention for pregnant women should be prioritized, and women should have access to antiretroviral treatment and effective routine microbicides. The list of legislation that we are responding to includes the Choice and Termination of Pregnancy Act, Maintenance Act, Divorce Act, Domestic Violence Act, Recognition of Customary Marriages Act, Construction and Development Program, Reconstruction and Development Program, also the Vatubili Principles. These legislations and also the issues that have been prioritized by the NDP, we will see when we go into the situational analysis, they are very relevant to the work of the department, and the issue is that even though they've been there for a while, the statistics are showing us that there has been very little progress or improvement for women, even though there is improvement, but it's not at the ID level. The department also responds to a number of regional and international instruments that the country is signatory to, and these include the Beijing Declaration and Platform for Action, the United Nations Convention for the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, Millennium Development Goals, and the African Union Heads of State Solemn Declaration on Gender Equality in Africa, the Protocol to the African Charter on Human and People's Rights on the Rights of Women in Africa, the Commonwealth Plan of Action for Women's Empowerment and Gender Equality, the Standard Protocol on Gender and Development. Now, the next slide just summarizes the situational analysis to say, to say that as a department we are the socio-economic empowerment of women. The issues that affect or that are a hindrance towards women realizing full socio-economic empowerment are the following: the economic participation of women, as you will see in the next slide how, what the statistics are saying, education, I mean women, the still high prevalence of low levels of education amongst women, demographic trends, social protection, health and access to basic services. Continuing with the situational analysis, when we look at data, and this is information that has been gathered since at least around 1994, so over years, the general report tells us that the historical context of inequality and divisions resulting from years of apartheid, this is what women are going through, and women remain disproportionately affected by poverty, discrimination, and exploitation. The labor force participation rate of women is lower than that of men, and this has been the trend throughout the years. Women are still earning less than men, even if they are doing the same jobs. Women with no formal schooling are the highest among black African women, and there's a high percentage of women with tertiary education are qualified in the field of social and health sciences. And you'll see later in the items that we prioritize as a department, we try to look into the same fields because we feel that there's a need to enter into those areas. Women are more likely to live in poverty in poor households than men. Women also seem to be more likely to suffer from chronic conditions or to contract acute illnesses.
Chairperson, may I appeal to the DDG not necessarily to go away by way, but just, you know, to speak to the presentation rather than reading it directly.
Yes, I wanted to see till when will the DDG read for us, because later on maybe it was during our absence when we posed a request that please to the slide, because as your report, own up to it.
I go on a check. I mean, this is one item on the agenda, so I don't know. I really don't know. Let them do, I think, give us what they need. They haven't been with us, so I think we need to give them that kind of way of preference. It's going to be helpful. I would not like it to, to project that we are rushing the job.
No, no, what we are saying, because we have copies of the presentation before us, we are simply saying, let the DDG not necessarily read or ask the report. We have copies. In fact, what she can do, she can speak to the supplier. It doesn't necessarily limit anything that they want to put for before the committee. But we simply say, in case she wants to read, we can even read for ourselves. That's what we are trying to say. We are not supporting anything. We are not limiting anything. We are simply saying, in case she wants to read, please let it be more of limit, but elaboration, I think it's more fair because that's exactly what we need. Without necessarily suppressing your DDG, we appreciate what you are doing, but we're simply saying, because it's your report, hold up to it, speak to the slide. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Trey. I think I've passed the slides where I would basically be reading. With regards to the organizational environment, I'll jump that slide because it's basically what the DDG has introduced us to at the beginning of the presentation and go straight to the summary of financial information. There, as a department for this financial year, we have an allocation of about 187 million, and that's for the whole department. And then for administration, we have an allocation of 80 million. And I'm now going into the targets and the indicators for the year, and I'm starting with administration. The first indicator there that we prioritized is the number of internal audit reports, and for the year we're going to do 4, which is 1 per quarter. The next one is the number of ICT operations and governance reports. We say for the year we'll issue 4 of those reports, which will be issued quarterly. The next one is the percentage of all service providers paid within the 30 days. Within 30 days, as we know, this is a national priority. And we're saying that all the service providers, 100% of all service, all invoices received will be paid within 30 days. And this is a target throughout the year. Also, the percentage of deviation against expenditure allocated. We're saying that we are going to tolerate not more than 5% deviation from the allocated expenditure, and this is throughout the year. With regards to the risk management, we're saying that we'll issue 4 department-wide risk assessment reports, and there will be 1 report per quarter. And these are the indicators that I intend to enhance governance within the department. And the next one is the number of reports on fraud prevention measures developed. And there again, we say we'll issue 4 reports, which is 1 per quarter. The next one is the number of HR oversight reports. This is a report that allows us to know how many people we've appointed, how far we in terms of filling vacancies, how many people we've promoted, how many people we've dismissed, how many people we've disciplined. So that is the report that sort of gives you a sense of how your department is doing in the size people are concerned. It also talks about training as well. We'll issue 4 quarterly reports, which culminate into 1 annual report. And then the next one is the number of status reports on facilities and securities. This report intends to show us how we are on implementing the occupational health and safety standards. And there again, we'll issue 4 reports for the whole year, which is 1 report per quarter. Then I'll go to program 2, which is social, political, and economic participation and empowerment. Again, I will start with the financial information on that program. This program has an allocation of about 87 million, and 67 million of that goes to the Commission on Gender Equality. So we then get left with about 90 million for that program. The indicators for the year, the first one is the number of intervention plans. If I can just highlight that with regards to these programs, how we've prioritized our indicators is that we've prioritized certain sectors and said we're going to go and look at and do a situational analysis, because the idea is to then as a department come up with intervention plans. But this is done in collaboration with the other departments. So as you see, as I'm reading the targets, that we also plan to have task teams within the with other departments where we'll be able to sit together and agree on the intervention plan. The first indicator there is the number of intervention plans for women access and participation in the infrastructure value chain developed, and we're saying the final target there is one intervention plan. In the first quarter, we'll do a situational analysis where we'll be going in, and we've targeted the analysis of government programs on empowerment of women infrastructure value chain, and we've prioritized departments like the economic development, human settlement, public works, water and sanitation, and Department of Cooperative Governance and the Department of Arts and Culture. That's what we'll be doing in the first quarter. In the second quarter, we'll then establish an interdepartmental task team on women's access and participation to the infrastructure value chain. After that, in the third quarter, we'll then develop a concept and consult on that intervention plan. Then what we then hope to have then is that in the fourth quarter, which is the end of financial year, is to have an intervention plan developed, approved. As the significance of working with other departments is that we'll be able to then have them to commit so that they prioritize what we put in the intervention plan. They prioritize it in terms of in their plans for the following year. Because you know how we work at government. If something you need to go first to Treasury and say, this is what I'm going to do for the year. So the department, one new thing or one different thing that we have done in this year is to make sure that we work with this department from the beginning. And the next targets also relate to these intervention plans, but they go into different sectors. So the next performance indicator, there is number of intervention plans for women's access and participation in the food security. And so we say we're going to have one intervention plan for the year. Again, in the third quarter, we'll do a situational analysis focusing on key departments such as the Department of Agriculture, Forestry, Department of Small Businesses, Rural Development, Water and Sanitation, and Department of Trade and Industry, and the Department of Environmental Affairs. Again, in the second quarter, it's similar to the previous indicator. We will then work with interdepartmental task team on women's access and participation in agro-processing and food security. Then in the third quarter, we develop the concept and consult it. In the fourth quarter, we have it approved. The next indicator is, again, the number of intervention plans on women's access to funding opportunities. As we know that those women that are currently running their own businesses, data is telling us that very few of them are accessing financial assistance from the funding institutions. And then, as a department, we're saying that in quarter two, we will do a situational analysis to see what is happening, where are the problems, and we're focusing on parastatals and the private sector. And these would include banks and the departments that have development funding agencies. And then in the fourth quarter, we'll have conceptualization and consultation on an intervention plan. You will see that in the there are quarters where we have not prioritized, where we have not prioritized any targets, and it's because these indicators have been developed conscious of the resources that we have and also appreciating the amount of work that needs to go into the process. The next indicator is a gender-responsive framework developed. With this framework, we're saying in the first quarter we will do a consultation with the Auditor General so that this is the responsiveness of budget is something that is also audited, as we know that departments do respond very well to things that they know that will be audited. So we'll have discussion with the Auditor General, and then in quarter two we'll have a draft framework developed. In quarter three we'll then consult on the draft framework, and then in quarter four we'll have it approved. The next indicator, Chair, is the review of institutional mechanisms to eradicate gender-based violence. And there we'll say for the year we'll have a report, one report on the review of these mechanisms. In the first quarter, we say we will do the National Strategic plan terms of reference will be revised. In the second quarter, we'll report on the institutional mechanisms of GPC, and we'll consult on that report. And then in the third quarter, we'll continue with the consultation. And then in the fourth quarter, we'll have a draft intervention plan developed to strengthen these institutional mechanisms. The next indicator, Chairperson, is the gender focal points, gender focal point standardization mechanisms approved. And that is the target that we have for the year. So during the quarter, on the first quarter, we'll report on consultations with stakeholders on the draft standardizations of GFP. In the second quarter, we'll then take this report to the fourth cluster and working groups on the proposed report. And then in quarter three, we'll continue with the fourth cluster consultation. And then in quarter four, we are hoping that the standardization mechanisms will be approved. And then in the next indicator then, the same program, is the number of intervention plans or programs developed for young women and girls access to the STEM fields, which is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. There we are saying we have one intervention plan. And as I would just remind the committee that in the situational analysis, we highlighted that women are more dominant in the social and health sector in terms of education. So in the first quarter, we'll then report on education of young women with disabilities in the STEM field. In quarter two, we'll report on barriers to access STEM fields. And in quarter three, we'll have a report on pairing of young women with disabilities with companies. And then in quarter four, we'll have a report on placement of young women and girls with disabilities within companies. Now, that is the end of program two. I now go to program three, which is research, policy, coordination, and knowledge management. This program has 6 million allocated to it, with 4 million going to compensation and 1 million to goods and services. And this is one area where we've also lost personnel to the Department of Social Development, as the DG has indicated. There are indicators there that we have prioritized in the report on the status of women, so the economic empowerment in South Africa published. We recall that this is a report that is also prioritized in terms of the National Development Plan. So the annual target is that report, the one report published. And in quarter one, we'll do consultation and finalization on the draft report. In quarter two, we have the launch of the status of the first report on women and socioeconomic empowerment. This is intended to happen in August when we celebrate Women's Day and Women's Month. And then quarter three, we have a framework for the second report on the status of women's socioeconomic empowerment in South Africa. And then in quarter four, we'll have the second draft of the report on the status of women's socioeconomic empowerment in South Africa. The next indicator there is a research report on the access and participation of young women and girls in the same fields conducted. And the annual target there is the one report. This indicator works in conjunction with the indicator that was prioritized in program two, where we'll be doing the situational analysis. So the programs are working with each other. So in the first quarter, we have a framework for research study developed. In the second quarter, there's a study on the access and participation of young women and girls in STEM fields initiated. In quarter three, we'll have a progress report on the fields work undertaken. And then in quarter four, we'll have a research report developed. The next indicator, there is a number of sector policies reviewed. As DG has highlighted, we are not a service delivery department, so we're not anticipating issuing policies, as we will be reviewing sector policies and doing a gap analysis. Now, the annual target there is one policy report produced. In the first report, we'll do an initial report and analysis of policies in the construction industry. And then we're going to the target for quarter two, and given the amount of work that is involved in this particular project. Then in quarter three, we'll have a policy round table dialogue convened to discuss this report. Then in quarter four, we'll have an analytical report produced. And the next indicator is the number of sector policies coordinated. And the annual target there is one policy analysis report produced. And in the first quarter, we have one policy brief on women in agro-processing. And quarter two, we'll do a roundtable, we'll convene a roundtable to discuss that report. And then in quarter four, we'll have the analytical report finalized and produced. The next indicator is the information and knowledge management strategy developed and implemented. The target there is, the annual target is the finalization and implementation of the information and knowledge management strategy. The intention is that the department become the knowledge hub of information related to women. Hence, this indicator has been elevated to a strategic level. The first quarter target there is that research and development of information knowledge management strategy will be continued. And the draft in the second quarter, we have the draft information management strategy consulted with all work streams. In the third quarter, we have the final draft of the information and knowledge management strategy submitted for approval. And then in the fourth quarter, we're anticipating that we have three training sessions on the approved strategy convened. The next indicator is the information and knowledge management system developed and maintained. The target is that we do research and development of information management continued, but then there will be having a system. And in the first quarter, we are saying that the business intelligence assessment will be initiated, and then in the second quarter, we'll continue with the assessment of the business intelligence assessment. And then in the third quarter, we'll then take the business intelligence assessment report to our management structures and then have the system in the fourth quarter put forward. The next indicator here under this program, which is the last indicator under this program, is the number of information and knowledge management policies developed and implemented. The annual target there is the information management standards developed and approved. In the first quarter, we intend to do research and development of information management standards. We intend to initiate that research. Then in quarter two, development of information management standards continued. And then in quarter three, the draft information management standards consulted with all work streams. Then in quarter four, information management standards approved. The last program here is program four, which is monitoring, evaluation, and outreach. Their total financial allocation for this year is 13,151,000, with 9,000,000 going to compensation and 3,000,000 going to goods and services. The indicators in this program, this is a program where we deal mostly with international relations, with advocacy, and monitoring and evaluation. The first sub-program there is stakeholder coordination, which also includes international relations. The first indicator is the number of multilateral engagement reports produced. And the annual target there is four international engagement reports produced. The first one is a report on the USSW 59 session. In the second quarter, we intend to do a report on regional and continental engagements of ministers responsible for women and gender. In the third quarter, it's the UNCSW 60th session consultative report produced in preparation of the next CSW session. And then in the fourth quarter, UNCSW 60th participation report developed. The next target indicators person is the number of reports of strategic multilateral relations produced. These include the United Nations SADC, IORA, Commonwealth, and the African Union. The annual target date is to have 3 reports of strategic multilateral relations. And our target start in the second quarter, where in the second quarter we'll do a SADC minister responsible for women engagement on women's socioeconomic issues report developed. Then in the third quarter, we have a UNSW consultation with AU ministers of gender. And then in the fourth quarter, we have UNSW participation report developed. The next stark indicator there is the number of reports of strategic bilateral relations produced. The annual target there is 2 reports. In the first quarter, we'll do a consultative agreement developed with Lesotho on gender rights violence. Then in the third quarter, we'll do a consultative agreement with the United Kingdom on gender-based violence. The next indicator here is the number of reports produced on the international treaties and conventions report on the international treaties and conventions. And the annual target there is the Solemn Declaration on Gender Equality in Africa. These are reports that require the country to produce report on a regular basis, some on 4-year intervals, others on different intervals. So one of them is the Solemn Declaration on Gender Equality in Africa. And we say in the first quarter, we'll have Solemn Declaration on Gender Equality in Africa report developed and consulted. And then we are hoping that in quarter two, we'll have this report approved. The next indicator is the sector M&E targets and indicators on women's socioeconomic empowerment developed. Here, the department will need to agree on the indicators that will then monitor the sectors on. So in this year, we're saying 4 sector indicators and targets will be developed. In the third quarter, we'll prioritize the justice cluster, which is the JCPS, which includes security and police. So the targets and indicators will be developed in the first quarter. In the second quarter, we'll prioritize the social protection and health sector. And then in the third quarter, we'll prioritize the government and administration sector. In the fourth quarter, we'll prioritize the economic sector. Then the next indicator is about the number of monitoring tools for socioeconomic empowerment of women. Here at Chairperson, we, as a department, we decided that government has been monitoring services before, and therefore we want as much as possible one to align with what already exists, and therefore we have then said that we align ourselves with the DCMA, the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation. We'll align ourselves with their monitoring systems. And then the target there is that one monitoring tool will be developed. In quarter one, we've not prioritized anything, as you will see that this program has other indicators within program within quarter one, and given the resources within that program, there's no indicator prioritized for this quarter one. Then in quarter two, we'll have an audit report on existing monitoring tools and indicators for women's socioeconomic empowerment and rights developed. You'll recall, Chairperson, that in the previous slides, we've spoken about developing indicators, and so these targets have been crafted in such a way that they synergy within the work that the program is doing, and also within other programs in the department. So in quarter three, we'll have an audit on the existing monitoring tools and indicators for women's socioeconomic empowerment and rights. And then in quarter three, the monitoring tool developed for women's socioeconomic empowerment. And then in quarter four, we are hoping to have we're hoping to pilot the monitoring tool. And then the next indicator is the number of monitoring reports produced on socioeconomic empowerment of women. Then the annual target is 4 monitoring reports developed. In quarter one, we'll have a quarterly monitoring report developed. So you will have reports every quarter on the monitor on monitoring and evaluation that we will be doing, which will culminate into an annual report in the fourth quarter. The next indicator is the number of impact assessment reports produced. And the annual target there is one report which will be on women and food security impact assessment report. And this is intended to be an annual report, a report that will be worked on throughout the year, and it's targeted to be finalized in the fourth quarter. The next indicator is the number of corporate documents finalized and submitted. This is a target that relates to governance as well, where we are saying that the target, we have a five-year communication strategy developed, and in the first quarter we'll have a consultation on the communication strategy, including the corporate image. And then in quarter two we'll have the draft communication strategy developed. In quarter three we'll have communication strategy finalized and approved. Then we hope to implement it then in quarter four. The next indicator is the five-year gender-based violence communication strategy developed. And there we are saying we'll have one quarter the annual target, one five-year communication strategy developed, which will start in quarter one with the government stakeholder consultation report. In quarter two, we'll have an external stakeholder consultation report. In quarter three, we'll have a draft communication strategy report. And then in quarter four, we are hoping to have the actual QV communication strategy developed. This indicator appreciates and recognizes the fact that gender-based violence is something that affects a whole lot of departments, the number of departments that respond to gender-based violence, which is health, you have your police, you have your justice system. So all those departments need to be coordinated so that we have a consolidated communication strategy. And then the next indicator is the number of outreach initiatives conducted, which includes Women's Month, the 365 days campaign. I have a slide at the end which indicates all the outreach activities that we'll be working on in this financial year. The next indicator relates to the number of campaigns conducted to eliminate gender-based violence. And we are saying we'll have one campaign per year. So, Chair, the campaigns that we intend to have basically relate to the hashtag 365 days. This is a campaign that runs throughout the year, every year. And we've already started a hashtag 365 days. We launched it last year in December, and we're continuing with it. It is done in partnership with Crimeline. It's done also online on Twitter, because we also want to have everybody, especially the youth, engaged. There's also a social media campaign using Crimeline hashtag. I mean, this is the same campaign that we're doing. It's also on Facebook. And there's another one that says Count Me In. And here we're also including men, as it's notified only for women. Then we also have the national and provincial dialogues in all provinces, which will lead to the development of the research agenda. Because we feel that we need to continuously engage with communities and have a dialogue about gender-based violence. Then there's also another activity that will happen in the Eastern Cape in partnership with the UNFPA, and then we'll continue to celebrate Women's Month in August, and we're still also negotiating with provinces. We'll also be doing themed monthly activities aligned to the national agenda. I'm almost at the end. Those are the other initiatives that we'll be looking at: food security, community play parks, greening, including tree planting. The implementation of these programs is characterized by the establishment of interdepartmental technical team to support the provincial implementation coordinated by offices of the Premier, as we as a department because we don't have a footprint nationally, and our job is to coordinate. When we do these initiatives, we then work in conjunction with the provinces through the premier's offices and the MECs. And then the further collaboration will be the integration of the cleaning of crime hotspots, and also the integration of cleaning. Sort of read that one already. Duplicated bullets. Innovative approach for achieving gender balance in agriculture through the cleaning of crime spots, and the correctional services agriculture section using offender labor and skills for infrastructure maintenance of buildings and schools, renovation of schools infrastructure. So those are the kinds of activities that the department is embarking on nationally, even in provinces. Chair, that is the end of my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. DG, I think this has been very informative. Now we need to interact with the presentation on our members before we can approve the budget. Honorable Julius, I know that you, any other hand?
Are we approving?
We are.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Thank you, DG, for the presentation. I think it's always a pleasure, and I think it's nice to have a department like this. However, DG, the proposed legislation on women equity was withdrawn because it says that other legislation already exists to empower women. And that for me is a very key thing for this department, because women development in terms of your mandate will be done by all other departments in government. Which brings me to a point that our mandate should actually be more focused on monitoring and evaluation. Your mandate is will focus on mainstreaming, monitoring and evaluation. But if you look at the budget, I beg that you please differ with me, because I fail to understand. Your budget is, you almost have, of the total budget, only about 5 or 6% will be spent on monitoring and evaluation. And yet, in my view, that will be your biggest purpose, because you have to see what other departments are doing. They have to send you reports, you have to get reports from them, from police, from justice, from DTI, small business development. You should get reports and monitor, are they actually doing what they're supposed to do in terms of our current legislation, and that is equity for women in all other departments. So I just need to understand that there's a fine line. Even social development. Social development still has a responsibility for women. You can't help a child without helping the mother. There should be something in there. How do we monitor this? We should also, on the other side, monitor our international agreements also, whether it is continental or international agreements. And with that, I'll be satisfied. But I can't see how we can spend less than 10% of our, 5% of our total budget. It's 9 million, I think. 9-something million for monitoring and evaluation. While I see it, please, I beg you to defer. While I see it as a main responsibility of the department, because otherwise we will be duplicating tasks of government, which will constitute a waste of money, time and energy in this department. So I just want to see, where do we really fit in? Do we have our priorities right in terms of our mandate, Chair, which is to focus on mainstreaming, monitoring and evaluation? The report is welcome, Chair. On the other point, it's very academic. It's for me, it's not very practical. There's a lot of cut and paste issues where first term we'll do this, or second quarter we'll do this, the report will go there, the report will go there, the report will go there. You know, I heard the word report and quarter almost every half a minute during the presentation. And I don't think it should be like that. It should be more practical in its approach. I think there was an attempt to cut and paste and say, okay, this is what we're going to do. I'm just afraid that if we do that, we're coming with an academic report that won't be deliverable at the end of the day. I will rest with the chair. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I think my first question will be under your goods and services, there's almost about 10.4 million that is not clearly allocated. Can you be here verified? Where does that go? It depends about that. The other question is on your program too. You are identifying sectors where women should participate on. I don't know what happened with women that are in mining, because here we only speak of agriculture. And in our law, for example, my groups, there are women in mining. Now, what happens about that? How do you then feature them into your programs? The other charity, the issue of your infrastructure value chain, infrastructure value chain. Just to be clear, what do you mean about infrastructure value chain? And, Chair, I don't hear much on their budget that applies to community interaction or community consultations apart from the event. Apart from the event that they are receiving. I don't hear much how much is actually allocated to community consultation except the event, because being part of your program to measure whether these women are really achieving the goal that you should be focusing on. Thank you, Chair. I think I'll pause there. Maybe I'll have another round. Thank you.
Okay, Honorable Nzimande.
Thank you, Chair. I also welcome the presentation, Chair, and I think I got what I wanted in terms of the elaboration, in terms of content. And, Chair, I think I also concur with the observation made by Honorable Judas. That was one of my opening points that I wanted to make, that it sounds like it's a department that will be full of professors and talkers of philosophy who would be doing all of this thing. So at the end of the day, my observation is that we will have papers at the end of the first 15-16 in terms of this APP, because you can have an intervention, you're gonna one intervention on that, on this aspect, and a report on that aspect. So all of this will have a huge pages, papers that would we have monitored. I think perhaps in the MTSF, maybe there would be an implication. I would like to hear that, so that at least I'm satisfied that then there would be further intervention, or something like wanting to hear now what's going to happen after March 2016, after all of these papers. Who's going to take what responsibility? I think it's important, sir, because we are also looking at the strategic objectives of the NTSF as such. And also we are doing these things in response to the directives of the NDP. So it's important that at least we start to hear what will happen. Secondly, given that one would also like to hear, I think the DG touched on this, that the bulk of their budget goes to CGE, Commission on Gender Equality, which is the highest. So, but I think I'm maybe somewhere in the sites, but to hear what kind of agreed relationship or working arrangements with the Commission. And I'm saying so because my observation as well, Chair, is that almost what they would be doing is almost what the CGA would be doing, from research to policy development to facilitation, which is all of what is at the core is strengthened. I think the Honourable Chair covered my question on what exactly this infrastructure value chain, what will happen, what are we doing? We would be putting women, we'll be training women to be ready to participate, the issues, if we get more detail on the value, on the infrastructure value chain. And I guess it's just that they prioritize, I think, about 4 or 5 sectors. But perhaps that's just what they think they could afford. That's what informs the 5. We don't know. They can say that. Then there's also, they talk there of the, I think it's program thing that they talk, it's only 6 million, I think, research. I don't know if we have a breakdown. What is it that they're allocating to research? Because maybe it's a lot of research that the output there on research, but I think the allocations are quite less. But also, just to note that I guess I'm not advocating, because Parliament has been worried about usage of consultants, but the DG earlier on mentioned that they would still have to do skills audit, so I guess there would be a lot of consultancies. Just to hear what would be their comment on that aspect. But also there's also this I think it's also on program form 3, the issue of knowledge management, that they will develop information and knowledge management and output, an indicator at the end of it. But one would want to know what is that? Is it an app, or is it a database? What is this information and knowledge management? Is it creation of a website? What is that will come out, or it's just a document that will be distributed, that kind of thing, so that we get to understand what is this that we're saying we will develop at the end of this financial year. The other one, sir, is the issue of the standardization. They said there would be a program 4, where they say that they would be working with the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation to be in line with their standards. But I think, but throughout the ADP, they are establishing the standards. But my understanding is that they don't have, so how, I don't know what they would be making it in line, or whether they're still first developing their own M&E, or what is their views in terms of the M&E standards that are used by the department, the sister department, in the presidents, or what is it? Because I guess there's things that department on its own. So one would have preferred a situation where they are saying we have now having an agreement, and that goes with my other question, which is in program 2, which is the interdepartmental. Can they unpack for us, Chair? You know, the concept being an activist in a sister sector, this interdepartmental has been a debunk approach in general so far, unless you do it properly. And that is who this interdepartmental, at what level it is. You call what? Is it DG level, is at the chief director level, or is just whoever is in the focal point, and that leads to the question of the standardization of the focal points. We raised the issue, Chair, on they presented the IPP here, where they didn't have a lot to say on gender, you know. The COCTA department didn't have a lot to say on gender. So when they standardize, what do? They are now having a proposal, developing a proposal to say we would want every gender focal point to be at the chief directorate. Are they doing that with the public service, you know, in order to review organograms? So let's hear what is this standardization mean in terms of the focal point. I think I have quite a future, but I'm saving your time. I'll come back as the answer, I'll get more answers to the questions.
Thank you very much. Financial performance. In terms of your previous financial year, you have performed well. Almost 99% of what you have budgeted for. But against your performance target, you are unable to reach your performance target. So I just want to check, what is the link between your performance, financial performance, and the performance targets, financial performance and performance targets? Two, the introduction of the Department of Women in 2014 is proclamation by the President, Jacob Zuma, was to give a firm recognition of the gender equality and a clear, effective consolidation and proper coordination of women's rights. It's an aspiration of the President of the country. I just want to check with the department, how will you ensure against your inability to reach your performance target that you are not going to fail the president of the country in terms of his aspiration of ensuring that issues of gender are really recognized? By virtue that this responsibility is located in the office of the presidency, shows clearly how important is this particular responsibility. Lastly, from my side, you are from a department that constituted of other responsibilities, people living with disability, children, which were put aside and being directed to social development. Now that you are a sole department dealing with women issues, what impact does it have in terms of performance? Can I afford the department to respond?
Thank you very much. And these are insightful and challenging questions, some of which we will be answering in more detail as we do the work during the course of the year, bearing in mind that this is the first year that the department is actually engaging with these issues. But I think, let me perhaps start with your issue of the President's decision to create a ministry in the presidency responsible for women. It does put on us an enormous responsibility. We have accepted that challenge and we will step up to the plate. Our challenge is that we need to be able to deliver at the same time as build a department. And that is where we are going to find the difficulty of juggling. But I must say that I think that the department has already started to find that balance of being able to deliver at the same time as doing the restructuring and the organizing of it. But it's a difficult balance to find. The progress that we have made in terms of the restructuring now and setting ourselves a time limit of the end of July is precisely to enable us to very quickly get to a point that we've got the machinery to be able to develop. But at the same time, and this will also then reflect on a number of the issues that people have, honourable members have asked about why we focus on particular aspects. We also don't want to land up where we try to take on the entire world with a small capacity. Hence, we've taken particular sectors and we will then continue to move forward. So I'm not taking mining is not in regulation, is not saying there are no issues that need to be looked at in terms of dealing with in the mining industry. There are critical issues. There are issues of women in mining engineers, for example, is one of the issues that our minister has written in her budget speech in May, that we train women mining engineers, but in fact when you look at the industry, you don't find women mining engineers in the industry. So what's happening, that there's a slide there. The issues of the labor system in the mining industry and its impact on women and wives of miners, the issue of women as mine workers obviously has very particular health issues around women working in that kind of environment. So there are massive issues that we will need to look at around mining. But we can't at this point take on everything. So we've had to decide where we're going to start. And for me, if you look at our strategic plan, in a number of instances we've said what we're going to do this year, and then we said in next year simply a figure. We've not yet got to the point in that. We bring it to a strategic planning session in July that will enable us then to say, if we've dealt with agriculture, is 1 year sufficient for us to have dealt with it adequately? If so, what do we move on? Or do we take it as a 2 or 3 year program, but we then start another one which also becomes a 2 or 3 year program? So those are issues that we will need to grapple with as we go through our planning processes. But I think that it then also reflects on how we as a department interact with our departments and the clusters of government, because that's actually going to be our vehicle for really being able to achieve. I heard very strongly the concern that if you read our APP, it looks like we're just going to generate report after report after report. They all end up being put on a shelf, and we can do a tick box, we've performed against our APP. And that certainly is not the approach that we have adopted or we want to adopt. The question that we are constantly posing to ourselves is, we're doing this report for what? What is the outcome that we're expecting to come out of the analytical work? And it may be a cap memo that says that we need to engage with DVME to ensure that all departments, in terms of the next planning cycle, ensure that there are gender indicators established so that we start building the M&E system into the systems of government. That's where our relationship with DVME becomes particularly important. What those indicators are, we need to work with departments. We need to work with departments in their clusters, because that's where the real expertise around criminal justice lies, in that cluster. It's not for us to say that this is what you should be measuring. Although the international instruments provide us with already a framework of what we need to be monitoring and evaluating, because that's what the country needs to report on. And there are, in those processes, a number of indicators that have been generated through international debates and international intellectual work that enables us to then identify those. But what we've not done as a country is to embed those necessarily in the strategic plans and the APTs and the management information systems of the relevant departments. Ultimately, our partnership with SAFSA also becomes a critically important part, because we are able to ensure that from SAFSA we are generating statistical information that is gender disaggregated, that also then provides us with an M&E process. So the concern about the M&E budget, much as I agree with you, and certainly M&E is an absolutely fundamental part of our responsibilities, some of it is not necessarily budget that we need. Some of it may be budget that SAFSA needs. Some of it may be just reprioritizing how SAFSA generates reports out of the information that they have. Some of it may be using the M&E budget that is allocated to the Department of Performance Monitoring Planning, Performance Monitoring Evaluation. There's a national evaluation plan. Our challenge would be to ensure that the national evaluation plan becomes a gender-sensitive plan, so that when an evaluation is being done of the rural development strategy or the land claims process, it's done with a gender lens, so it's actually asking those questions. So we've got a number of those kinds of levers that we need to be able to utilize. What it requires is us to build the capacity and the maturity in our department to be able to go into the social cluster, the JCS cluster, the ICTS cluster, the economic cluster, and the government's administration cluster, and be able to work with our colleagues in those departments. We will not achieve gender mainstreaming or an effective M&E system or an effective ongoing reporting and review process if we pitch our partnerships with departments at a low level. So we need to be able to pitch them through the clusters at from chief director DDG, DG level, in the technical working groups, moving through, and then obviously that feeds through into the cabinet processes. So I hope in that sense I've answered some of the kind of the challenges that we have about functioning in a way that is actually going to achieve our objective and is going to ensure that the aspiration of the president is not in doubt. It's a daunting responsibility. It's also a very exciting responsibility because if we can achieve it, the impact can be enormous. I think part of what we also experience as a department, and I'm saying this with an element of experience from economic development as well, the planning format and the entity format is pretty much geared to departments that are service delivery orientated, to how many parcels you're going to issue or how many houses you're going to build. And it doesn't necessarily easily enable us to craft an ATP that deals with these types of issues, because it then does become you're just a sausage machine for generating reports. But I think that in our strategic planning session we will take that on board and find a way in which we're able perhaps to bring out more clearly a report for what. Obviously the mechanisms that we would be using would be cabinets, so taking the information of those reports through to into cabinet processes, or taking them through into the presidential coordinating council in relation to provincial responsibilities and dimensions. Or taking it into minister-to-minister DG to DG processes if they relate rather than to a cluster to an individual department. But certainly there's no value in having reports that just line up on our stages, on our shelves. The infrastructure base chain, I'm going to ask and see if he to add, but perhaps just for me to be able to, in relation to all of the sectors, we need to be able to look at, indeed, the training issues. Do we have the necessary skills training processes or including women in that area of work? I've already flagged the issue that skills sometimes don't translate to jobs in that particular sector. Let's track that as well so we can look at it. We need to ensure that women are being able to access finances and skills in terms of being able to do enterprise development, be it co-ops, be it not co-ops, be it small, be it big. And part of what we are concerned about is we don't want to see women being involved in an infrastructure value chain by tiny little small businesses that sit somewhere on the periphery, but we want to ensure that it's mainstreamed into the infrastructure procurement process, the infrastructure building processes, the infrastructure maintenance processes. Chairperson, the relationship with CGE is a very important one, and what we do need to ensure is that we do not end up where we are putting CGE resources and Department of Women resources into the same piece of research. Given the breadth of gender transformation and the breadth of the mandate of both institutions, there is more than enough space for us to be able to carve a complementary role. And we have indicated that we need to go into an intense discussion with CGE around their work and our work to find a closer partnership with it. I think that in things, we've also been given a very specific mandate around socioeconomic empowerment of women. The CGE's mandate is gender equality. It's an incredibly broad and overarching responsibility. Obviously, you can't achieve gender equality if you don't deal with socioeconomic empowerment. But we do need to ensure that we can utilize it. And part of what we have done, for example, on the gender focal points, is to use research that has been done by CGE, that has been done by the Public Service Commission, and pull it in, and then be able as a department to say, what now is our recommendation to the cabinet? And part of it is the issues of have departments pitched the gender focal point at the right level of seniority. It's meant to have been pitched at the director level. It's sunk down a lot of committee directors, even some ASDs. But part of our concern also is that in setting up the gender focal points, there was no determination. There was, in fact, it was meant to be in the DG's office, but it hasn't been in the DG's office. So you've got some gender focal points that are sitting in at provincial level in social development. Some are sitting in the HR section of a department. What we've not got is the gender focal point being mainstreamed into the strategic management function. and into the Premier's office. So you know, those are the issues that we need to then take that research and do the thinking about how then do we make a recommendation to Cabinet or options to Cabinet that will actually enable us to then solve those problems. I think that's our particular niche, and it does then impact on the issue around the research, the budget for research. We are not envisaging that we should be setting up a massive research capacity in the Department of Women, but rather that we should be ensuring that there is a research agenda, that we are able to say South Africa has got very good research in these areas, but very poor research in these areas. We need to ensure that we encourage research to be done around gender in those areas, but that we also then ensure that there's a networking and there's a hub, and that I think feeds into our knowledge management system. At the moment, if you want to find a paper that's been done on gender and infrastructure, where would you start looking? You could go to the CIEB website, you could go to some of the engineering faculties of universities, you could go to the gender research institutes within the universities, very few of whom are looking at economic policy issues. What we would want is that by being able to go to the Department of Women website, you'd then be able to lead through to other websites and other research institutes and be able to find it. So there's a process of ensuring that information that we've got available in South Africa is being able to make visible. Obviously, our challenge then is to use that research to improve the way in which government is functioning. On the issue of M&E standards, what we are hoping to be able to achieve by identifying that area of work as a close partnership with DPME is that ultimately what DPME is monitoring should be gender sensitive. So we would want to ensure that the strategic planning framework and the M&E framework and the reporting framework then has to lift up the gender question. Chairperson, if we hand over to the CFO to deal with the finance issues, and then I'm sure if he could add in terms of the core business responsibility.
Thank you, Chairperson. I thought I would ask for clarity from the Honourable Member about the goods and services amount that is missing, because I can't seem to find it in the presentation. So I'm asking for clarity on that so that I can respond appropriately.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I was just checking on our research here. It needs to back to be 10.3. Yeah.
In fact, what is happening is just for dry analysis. If you check for each and every program here, then the provision for goods and services for a particular program, if you add up to that particular difference, it comes to an amount of 10.4 million. And that 10.4 million, it has been returned. There is no specific line vote that is attached to it. So the question was, why are you at all times having a particular difference on the issue of goods and services? May I also ask, in case you don't have readily available answer, you are at liberty to say you take note of the question, you will follow it up and make a written submission. But that's what we have observed in terms of the time that has happened. There's always a difference in terms of a particular amount of money, especially on issues of goods and services. You have made provisions that will always be unaccounted land pricing, particularly on the issue of goods and services. So we just want to establish what is really informing there. But if you sum it up to various programs that you have, that is where it comes to almost 10.4 million.
In fact, Chairperson, I was going to ask that, can I be allowed to go back and look at the presentation as well as in the EME and see where there is a difference and try to reconcile it? And then with the permission of the DG, we will then respond in writing.
She must also check the last year's APs, you already figure that she was not afforded. I think it would then be proper to have the time. That's the point, as you're saying, in return. Thank you.
want to respond?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. On the issue of what the infrastructure value chain is that we look at some of the priorities that government has, especially with these large amounts of money that has been allocated for a project. For example, infrastructure is one of the bigger capital expenditure projects and a priority for government for various sectors, whether it's energy, roads, dams, water, sanitation, and all those other areas. And because of that, we then wanted to look at beginning from the design phase or the conceptualization phase in terms of what the power station is going to look at, to the point at which the power station is being built, to the point at which it's being maintained, it's being operationalized, and all of that. So you want to see where are women participating. Oftentimes you will find what we have found in terms of the informal sector, that you'll find women selling food outside of a construction site. But actually when that building is up and running, they are not necessarily running the canteen or inside that building, for an example. But also you find that women are not necessarily, and you find the same with people with disabilities, that are not involved at the time of design and conceptualization of what it should look like and whether it would meet the need of women, but also that they're not involved in terms of participating economically at the very beginning. Sometimes you will find that women may be involved to a very little extent, to a very limited extent in the construction phase, which is part of the value chain. So we're looking at women's economic participation in the infrastructure value chain, starting from design all the way to the implementation, construction, and at the end where the building or the infrastructure is being maintained and operationalized. Thank you.
Any other input? In the absence, can I then afford on our members if there's any follow-up or on our DGs?
Chairperson, my apologies. You had asked a question about the issue of consultants. We indeed our skills audit is being done by a service provider. Our approach would be to ensure that as far as possible we build the capacity in the department. We do not believe that government responsibilities should be outsourced, but particularly in a small department there are situations in which one simply does not have the skills in a department. Our starting point though would be to see whether we are able to form a partnership with other departments to be able to access those skills. For example, that's one of the challenges that departments, small departments, have around internal audit functions. And you're then faced with the issue of either voting your administration program in order to have internal audit capacity or outsource it and get companies in or to enter into a partnership with other departments to have a shared internal audit function. So I think those are the issues that as we mature as a department we will be looking at. But our starting point would be that we certainly should not land up in a situation in which the business of the department is being outsourced in any sense. But at the same time, we do understand that the process, the mandate that has been given by the president is not one to simply mainstream gender within government. It's actually to ensure the socioeconomic empowerment of women in the nation, which means that we do have to enter into partnerships with people, with stakeholders. And I think we need to be very clear about where the boundary line is between our partnerships with stakeholders and joint work through SLAs with stakeholders as opposed to the procurement of consultants as service providers. But I'm sure that as we engage further with the Civic Committee on that, we will have that as ongoing discussion. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, there's two questions so that without attending to, I asked a specific question on information and management and knowledge management. What is it that what is it actually that they are is it a paper or is it a website that I was trying to be very specific in terms of what they are
what doing. Is the specific activity?
Yeah, yeah. They wrote the activities but we don't know what is the final product of what they are going to produce at the end of March. The other one, I think it's yours, Chair, that the CFO should have tried to take us to the understanding. It was a specific question that you've raised in terms of this performance. Comparing last year, and I think you were comparing, you indicated last year's performance, and I think there is an Auditor General's report, comments around the financial performance. So I think it's something we need to know as well. Just to then deal a second, Chair, to say that we would certainly also want to know that this is a decade of women. They mentioned something on regional, but more on, I think, what the ministers will do in international relations. But I think we are supposed to have a program that contributes to the second decade of women, which started on the 10th to the 20th, to the 2019, 2020. So what is it that they're doing? They were not quite, might be captured in slides, but the events in the fourth program, which is outreach, including the detail of the August man, and the what is the campaign on end of November, 16 days. Yes, sir. I think it is important that we start knowing what the department is doing and coordinating participation for our own sensitization in the constituencies as well. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Zeman. Responses. CFO.
Thank you, Chief. In 2013-14, we underspent by 5%, which was mainly on compensation because of being cancelled. And then in this year, though we have not yet been audited business, in 14-15, we spent 99% of the budget, which I think the Chairperson's question was, why
they the link between the performance target.
Yes, I think the DG touched a bit on it, just link between forming the new department, yet at the same time we still have to pay salaries. So the bulk of the budget would go to compensation of employees regardless of whether we are pushing our APP as what was contained in the APP.
But is that realistic? Is that realistic that you spend 99% of your budget against poor performance of a performance target?
I will ask the DG to assist, but in my understanding is you would find that the bulk of the budget goes on compensation of employees, and we pay the salaries.
Chief, your budget is not solely based on salaries.
Yes.
It's based also on programs. And what is informing your performance target is not solely salaries, it's programs. The question is, what is a discrepancy that is causing the department to spend 99% against less performance targets? If you don't have an answer, you want a further research on that, you are at liberty to do it. May I remind you, the CFO, that you are appearing before the Committee of Parliament in terms of Section 59 of the Committee. Anything that you raise, it's captured. And anything that you mislead the Committee upon has got consequences. So just say, you are at liberty to say you want to further investigate where you need to investigate so that you don't mislead Parliament.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would also ask Jim Kangame to assist on the alignment of the APP and the financial settlements. But part of what I was saying is still stems, Chairperson.
Proposal as we go and look properly as to what did we spend the money on and the link between the comments and
first, you know, it's appreciated. Then it means you have two things. You're going to focus on this one, Honourable Zimande, as we've indicated. You'll have to focus on giving us clarity. What is the link between the performance, particularly the financial performance against the performance target? Why such a discrepancy? Then two, you have to clarify us on the issue of your goods and services, where we've observed a trend of unallocated funds
per program, which is not clarified where is that money going to utilize or what was the purpose of that particular provision in the social budget. I'm not sure if there's still any other questions on our members. Activities that is informing that particular program.
Let me go back to knowledge management, because in a sense part of the answer that the Honourable Member is looking for will come out of the development of the strategy. But I think for me what we need to be very clear about is this is not a report. This is actually putting in place systems that enable us to ensure that there is appropriate knowledge management, be it knowledge management around the international reporting obligations. We need to ensure that information that has been provided to multilateral organizations in 1995, in 2012, that is available and centrally accessible, not only by ourselves, but also by other departments. We should not be ending up in this day and age in which if the Department of Agriculture, Fisheries and Forestry needs to understand what was said to the Commission on the Status of Women in the year 2010, that they've then got to start asking for us to please find it and send it. It should be immediately accessible. So the knowledge and information strategy that we are talking about is not simply a process of saying we need to manage our own as a Department of Women's Knowledge, but we need to ensure that we've got an information and knowledge strategy that will enable us for us to be able to access. I'm going to continue to use DAS as an example. We should be able to access DAS information around their gender programs, but they should be able to access information around the UN, the CSW reporting. Now, whether that is through a website or whether that is through a monitoring and evaluation system that pulls information from the information, those of information systems of various departments, that's the detailed work that needs to be done in crafting that strategy. But we would certainly not be coming back here to say we've got a report on the knowledge management strategy. What we need to ensure is that those systems are put in place. If we need to have all government departments making available information from their management information systems, that system to pull that needs to actually be designed. So obviously, in this day and age, a critical part of it would be information systems. But part of what we need to be able to identify as a starting point is what is the information that is currently available? And how does that then become part of a knowledge management system that enables us to not have compartmentalized and silo sites when it comes to information, but ensuring that. That's with a government, but at the same time, it's also, there's a vast bulk of information that is sitting in the multilateral organizations or in other governments, governments of other countries, even in our own civil society, the academic world, and we need to ensure that we start looking at those aspects. So that's what we need to craft into a strategy. And then what one would see going forward from that is to be able to say, in this year, we can start with our website. In next year, we will design, and so it will be an ongoing area of work. And it may well be an area of work, and what we will be requiring is other departments to start doing things in their information management systems in order to be able to link up. It feeds into the approach of a government-wide monitoring and evaluation system. If you don't have a knowledge and information system that pulls that information together, then government-wide monitoring becomes very difficult. Chairperson, I hope that within the limits of where we are at the moment, I've given the Honourable Member and the Select Committee a sense that this is not another report. This is a process of ensuring that we've got information being made accessible and available. The vehicles through which it gets made available will have to be determined as we go through here. Chairperson, on the outreach program, I hear from the Honourable Member's question a desire that we ensure that the Select Committee is at all times kept abreast of programs ahead of where they're actually hitting the ground. In relation to Women's Month and 16 days, obviously that's the process that goes through to the Cabinet. And we will ensure that as that process unfolds through the Cabinet, that we ensure that the Select Committee is communicated with, even if not through a meeting with the Select Committee, but certainly that we ensure that there is effective communication as we go forward. And I think that we would need wanted to hear that question also relating not only to those types of effects, but also, for example, where the NIST is going on in measles in a particular province, that we should ensure that that communication takes place. So I'm sure we will take that to the ministry as well and can try and raise the bar in that sense.
Thank you very much. Anything from the side of the department?
Chairperson, I'm just being reminded here the part of the Honourable Member's question was also in relation to the AU Decade of Women. And I think just perhaps to indicate that, and I'm sure that members of the Select Committee are aware of it, that the AU Summit is being hosted in Joburg at the moment. It has already started. The theme of the AU Summit is, in fact, Women's Empowerment, so there will be a song program of wood coming out of the AU Summit. We are, as part of that process, having a high-level panel of experts, which has been set up by the AU ministers responsible for gender and women, and that meeting is taking place over the next 3 days, followed by a meeting of the ministers responsible for women and gender from the AU, and that will then feed into summit. There are 10 themes that have been identified for the AU decade. Currently, the focus of the work is around agriculture and, in particular, access to finance in agriculture, and that's the theme of the high-level panel that is taking place in the next couple of days. So I'm sure what we will also ensure out of that is that we provide feedback to the Select Committee around the outcome of the AU Summit on that, and ensure that as we go forward we keep the Select Committee briefed around the program around international relations.
Thank you very much, DG. I'm not sure from the side of the MPs, members of Parliament, anything. If not, and then reiterate what you said. We said earlier on that a letter, DG, confirming your apology would be expected. Then two, the unallocated budget programs, we need to know what is it for, especially in terms of the land items. And the last one is the one that we spoke about, alignment of the financial performance against the performance targets. I think those are three outstanding issues that need to be followed up. Would appreciate if they can be communicated. Like you, another one is reminded that budget presentation will be on the 18th in the NGOP. Is. So would appreciate that the report be finished to the committee secretary, Ms. Manel, prior to that. Honourable members, this brings us to the end of the presentation. We hope and believe that we'll finalize whatever that is outstanding in our next meeting. The meeting before we can adjourn, can I ask Honourable the manager to say a word of thanks on behalf of the committee?
Thank you, Deputy Chair, and many thanks to the department for finally meeting us. We hope that for now we have started a process of engaging, and I guess we have a very strong force. You see, it's almost a club of men, so. We're only two or three women in the committee, but hopefully you have the foot soldiers that would strengthen the transformation on gender, and we hope that our relationship with you would be more regular in terms of contacts and information sharing and exchange and even participation in programs as we raised earlier on. And thank you, members, for making it. We didn't approve to help Julius so that it doesn't have a point of order. We're not approving the APB, we have endorsed it. And then we will debate the budget when it comes to the House. Thank you, Chair. Thank you.
Can I then acknowledge our newly appointed current advisor, Nete Mbakazi Makela? She's new for the vote. Can we give her a round of applause? Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.